Thank you, Anita. Good morning. Great to see you all. Lovely to be here. And this is the first time I've been ministering here, preaching, since we called David as minister. And so let me just say how thrilled I am that we've not just made that decision, but made it so decisively and clearly, and really looking forward to David's coming. Brilliant. Some of you might have forgotten the reason I came here in the first place, having been here so long, but it was in fact to help you to find a new minister, so job done. And some of you are therefore going to get worried and say, what on earth will Jonathan do? Just sitting around wondering, well, I put in my prayer diary that this was happening, and almost immediately another church said, Jonathan, since you can have so much free time, you know, so all I'm saying is you don't need to worry about me. You know. My concern now is, and really is my concern, because though I will not be so present with you, you will be very much on my heart, because that's the nature of caring and ministry. And I desire to see what God wants to do next in this church, where he's going to lead you next as David comes. And this passage that we've had, this great passage, I'm delighted to have spent the last few days reflecting on it, talks really about where we go from here, where we go on the journey together. And hear this, and Anita has made it so clear in the service already, the most crucial aspect of this new ministry is not David, but prayer. It will be, David is a gifted man, that's proven. He has proved that, he's a very able man. But if something is great is to happen, it's going to be down to prayer. Everything will depend on that. There is a temptation when a new minister comes to say, oh, I can relax now. It's been so hard without a minister. Now got a minister, we can just settle back and not do so much. No, God wants us to go forward. And the going forward will all be to do with prayer. Prayer is not one of the ways. I sometimes hear, you know, people look at people in the church and they say, oh, they're the prayer warriors, and we thank God for what they're doing, as if we can sort of subcontract this to a few people who will faithfully do it on our behalf. No, prayer is God's way for all of us. So thank you, Anita, for the sensitive way in which you've led us, that prayer is at the heart of everything. But prayer isn't just about what we say to God. We talk about saying our prayers, don't we, as if prayer is us telling God all the sorts of things we'd like him to do, or, you know, give him our agenda for that. It's actually the reverse of that. It is saying, Lord, your will be done. What do you want to happen? Not us giving him a bucket list of our preferences and seeing if he succeeds in doing the things we've asked him to do. It's exactly the opposite of that. It's saying to God, Lord, your will. Even if we don't like it that much, your will be done. We want your agenda. So I want us to reflect this morning on prayer in the very practical way in which Paul does it. And again, from the top of the service, Anita was drawing attention to this sense of the continuity of prayer, prayer continually at prayer. Verse 9 is crucial here. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is to say, prayer isn't an aspect of life. Prayer is not one of the things we do. Prayer is life. I love the title that's been chosen for this new series, and I feel privileged to kick it off, Life Redefined. It's about looking at everything differently. As an illustration that's obvious to me, absolutely obvious to me, as a glass wearer, a wearer of glasses, that may not mean anything. If you've got 20/20 vision, God bless you. Must be fantastic. Never had it. Don't know what you're doing. You know, I mean, that's just great. For those of us who do not have perfect eyesight, we all know what it's like to get a new prescription of glasses and to go out into the high street or whatever and look around and say, wow. Because it affects everything. Hey, it's been lovely to see some nods. Some of you have no clue what I'm talking about, because, you know, but it is another world. But But that new prescription, it's just right, and it affects everything. It's not one aspect of life, because they're on all the time. You know, it reinterprets the whole of life. That's Christian faith. That's what prayer is all about. Not a little part of life, but redefining life. That is the right word. Seeing everything differently. There's always the temptation, isn't there, to see our involvement in the church as being like one of the clubs we're a part of, you know, part of the AA, you know, members of the National Trust, local bowls club, whatever, supporting Eastleigh Football Club. Not many of you, I know. But whatever it is, you know, part of different clubs. That was cruel. But if you knew the team I support, you'd know it's... It'd be just as cruel to speak about them. But it's not just an aspect. It's not just another club we're a part of. It's life. It's life affecting everything we have and are. One of the key themes that came across from David in the many hours we spent talking with him, I mean, I think as deacons we spent pushing 4 hours with him, and in the Q&A sessions we had another sort of 3 or 4 hours. We had lots of time questioning David and his views on this and that, and the focus, it seemed to me, time and again he came back to was discipleship. It's about individuals walking with God, growing in God, and the theme that comes out to me from this fantastic passage is all about discipleship, and it's about continual growth. If you are a disciple, you need to be continually moving on, continually growing in your faith. It's not that membership club thing, you know, I've got membership and so I'm in and that's it. It's about growing continually in God. I love this time of the year, I'm sure you do as well. For some reason, I found it particularly exciting this year, the spring, and just seeing things emerge, especially the trees. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's a common I go across, Hungerford Common, beautiful common in West Berkshire. And I often go across the common. And, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the trees were brown. They were still brown. And then you start to see a little hint of green, a bright green, but a subtle green. And then every day, it's developed, it's growth, it's natural. It's what we expect to happen. It does happen every year, you know. But God looks to us and wants to see growth. Yeah, we know it's Eastleigh Baptist Church, but we're looking for new growth, new development, continually. That's God's will for us. So let's look through some of the themes here of what Paul says should grow. And a big theme he's got here is the growth in knowledge. Growth in knowledge. And as soon as we use that word, we're thinking about books, aren't we? And I'd like you to just leave that to one side. I'm not knocking books, which can be helpful, and I can read, but it isn't book knowledge. It's about the practical knowledge of knowing God's will, knowing how God ticks, knowing what God's about. Reading books, studying, looking at the Word of God, it's all good. But at the end of the day, what matters is knowing on the job, day by day, as we live life, how to make good decisions in living for God. That's why, because it is on the job training, that's why small groups are so important. And I know it will be one of David's key desires in this church to see more and more people naturally becoming part of small groups, just because that's the place where we can ask the daft question, if you know what I mean. We can be honest about the things that are going really well in our lives and the mishaps and the things aren't going, you know. We can be there together, really engaging in knowledge, godly knowledge. Small groups are important. Services of worship are important for all sorts of surprising reasons. And you think, oh, he's a preacher, he's going to say about it. Preaching is really important. And I think it is. I do think it really is. I think God can use it miraculously beyond anything that any of us have prepared. You know, God can do that. But actually, everything is important. The person we sit with is important. The greetings when we come in, the songs are important. Everything is important because God's at work. We dedicate this time to him, and often he will speak to us in less obvious ways. But that's God. He can talk to us how he likes. And that's why our quiet times with God, and I do not have a legalistic view of what your time with God ought to look like, or you should feel guilty from that. I'm not going there at all. I just know that you need time to pray, that you need to weave time with God into your daily life. You're busy people. Many of you I know are extremely busy. That's right, and it's good. But make sure that prayer is there. There are lots of helpful disciplines. Do you know, maybe just to say, every time if you sit at a desk for your work, every time you sit down at your desk, just say a prayer to God. In that moment, just, Lord, I give to you this morning. You say, well, I'm really busy, or clients have got loads of pressures. Great. Every time you sit down, just say, Lord, I give this moment to you. I just, weaving prayer. When you sit at the lights, I do strongly encourage you, this, drivers, as you sit at the lights, invest the time. Just pray. Just use that time. Say, Lord, thank you so much for another red light. It's a good discipline. Lord, thank you for this precious moment just now. I commit to you the thing I'm going to do. Pray for the driver by. Pray for, do you know, just use, do you hear what I'm saying? Weaving prayer into, so that it's not just that thing we do in a religious way, giving God our list of stuff he needs to hear about, but actually saying, Lord, we want to hear from you. Why? Because we want God's knowledge. We want the wisdom to know what's right. Prayer is like any relationship, isn't it? As we get to know God better, as the relationship develops, we will more easily know what is his will. When I was a young Christian, I often think of this. When I was a young minister, you know, we had all sorts of challenges and difficulties, which actually wouldn't be difficult these days because I know how God works so much better. Do you know, as we acquire more knowledge, as we get to know the relationship better, we're able to discern what God is saying to us more clearly. Sue and I started going out 40 years ago this year. Got married 2 years later, in case you're worried I wasn't married. But, I mean, so often we'll say to one another, do you know, I would make a statement and Sue would say, I was just about to say precisely that to you. Do you know, and it happens, doesn't it? As you get to know one another really well, you just think together. You understand the other one. You don't have to do the stuff I had to do 40 years ago when Sue was a teenager and I was still reasonably young. And, you know, it was a different conversation then. But 40 years on, we know how we work. We understand one another. And the privilege of walking with God is that the growth takes place. As every year passes, we can be more confident of God. We grow in God. But look for growth, expect growth, desire growth. So that's the first big theme, it seems to me, here. The second thing is this, which is growth in fruitfulness. Verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. God looks to you to be fruitful. He's looking for an outcome of your life. It's a good question to ask, isn't it? Are you being fruitful? Are you being fruitful in your life at the moment? So the question is, what's the fruit? What are we looking for? If you're a business, it'd be straightforward, wouldn't it? What's the fruit we're looking for? Profit, bottom line. You know, win or lose. Either you're getting more and it's good. You know, I mean, it's not difficult. It's the bottom line. If you're a sportswoman, we want to know, are you winning more? Are you faster? Are you getting more goals? You know, whatever you need to do in your particular sport. But it's absolutely clear what the result should be, what the fruitfulness is. But how about as a Christian? Undoubtedly, Paul's answer would be, what we need to see is the fruit of the Spirit. And don't worry about the list. You say, oh, I can't remember them all. Don't worry about the list. It's all about love, because everything flows from that. If you have love, then you can be sure you're sharing love in your life, there will be joy. That's what happens. And amazingly, you didn't have the planet, there will be peace. It just flows. And you'll be more patient than you were otherwise, because that's what love does. And there'll be a kindness that will just happen. You won't have thought about it. And a goodness and a faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Do you know, focus on love. It all flows from love. When you're in the place where God wants you to be. Jesus' command to his disciples was this, John 15:12. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the fruitfulness we're looking for. It's good as a church to test ourselves by this. Are we looking to have fantastic buildings? It's good to have fantastic buildings, and we're blessed by our buildings, but it's not the goal. You can have the most beautiful building on the face of the earth. If there's no love, pull it down. Waste of space, waste of time. I've got a fantastic program for people of all ages. It's great to have a fantastic program for people of all ages. But if there's no love, please bring those programs to an end. That would be so helpful. Do you know, I mean, having lots of money. It's good to have lots of money. We're grateful for the money that we have. Look at Brian, so I've got to be careful what I say. But, you know, we want money in order to be able to do God's work. But are we just looking for piles of money? If that's our objective as a church, then should we just stop now? Because it's love. We're called to be a people of love. That's the test. That's how we'll know whether we're doing well as a church or not. And that's how you will know as an individual whether you're doing well or not. Love giving yourself to another, being available for those around, supporting those around you. And I'm talking about the people in your office. I'm talking about the people in your school. Talking about your neighbours. I'm talking about the people who are awkward in your life. Probably doesn't happen here in Eastleigh, but happens elsewhere. Do you know? But you know what I mean? But just being loving, being there for them, and ultimately sharing the love of God with the people around you. God is looking for growth in us. That's what we're saying. Growth in knowledge. Growth in fruitfulness. But get this. This is so good. He's looking for us to have growing power as well. Let me read verse 11. We pray that in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That is to say, the God who calls us to serve him and to do these incredible things for him gives us the power to do them. The reality is our strength is limited, isn't it? Our strength is limited, all of us. We're not infinitely strong. We feel weak. And God knows that. And he gives us the strength. But why does he give us the strength? He gives us the strength because he knows the challenge. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. That's what we need, friends. Great endurance and patience. That is to say, much of the Christian life is about hanging in there. Enduring. Being there in difficult situations where there is, frankly, discouragement, where things are not going well, but hanging in there for God. How are you going to do that? God gives you the power. God will give you the strength. How are you going to keep working in a situation where just people are plain awkward, just difficult? It's not easy, folks. Humanly speaking, you wouldn't hang in there. You'd give up. But God gives you the power to hang in there. I love the word patience, which has been cheapened, I think, by the translation we use these days. Those of us who were brought up on the Authorized Version, and the number of us become smaller and smaller, I realize all the time, but some of us will remember the word long-suffering. And long-suffering is actually a much better, straightforward translation of the Greek word, makrothumia. Makro means big. Many of us have shopped there. Thumia means suffering, big suffering. Now I know what patience is all about. It's about being in situations which are just plain difficult, awkward, and hanging in there, long suffering, being there for God. How do you do that? How do you do that? And I'm conscious of many of you hanging in difficult situations, difficult relationships, but you're there for God's sake, and I want you to know God will give you the strength to stand in there. So please don't get an idea, of this Christian life business as making everything simple and easy. There's nothing in the Bible that will suggest that. Far more about Christian life being a fight and a struggle and facing many challenges, but we can do it because God gives us the strength. So, friends, go back to where we started. Before anything else, we need to be the people of prayer. Because as we are a people of prayer, as we get in tune with God, as we learn more of Him, we're able to stand for Him and live for Him with real power and energy. I'm really excited about the future. I've loved being with you for these years and grateful for the incredible privilege of being a part of this church's life. It's all good and I'm grateful for it. But as we look to the future, we're looking for growth. We're looking, as we pray for David, and do please pray for David and Jen and the family and all the transitioning of the next few months, but we'll be praying for growth because that's God's desire for us. Let me pray with you now as we tell God that that's what we desire. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your love for us. So grateful that you've made it possible in the power of your Holy Spirit for life to be redefined, for us to look at the whole of our lives with new eyes. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you want us to grow. And I pray for my friends here this morning that we may grow in knowledge, that we may get to know you much better. I pray, Lord, that we will become more and more fruitful, that this will be a church known for its love, known that it reflects the love that you have first shown to us. And Lord, we thank you for the way in which you want us to grow in experiencing your power, that we may become a more powerful church as we stand for you, as we allow you to work through us. Lord, thank you for your love for us. We commit ourselves to you now and pray that you will give us the excitement of learning what it means to be even more a people of prayer, to the glory of your name. Amen.